Hey everybody, Josh here. It's in a world alternative media here. And of course, we're joined by Tim Pachote of the Liberty Advisor once again here at OM. Thanks for joining us, Tim. We got a lot of stuff to go into as the Christmas season wraps up and we head into 2020, as we've recently done a video looking into 2020 and the 2020s in general, which you can find on our channel. It's time to talk about another story that is making a lot of headlines as far as the markets go recently, which is, as this Reuters article says, NASDAQ tops 9,000 on Amazon. U.S.-China trade optimism drives record rally. And now, again, these are all-time highs. We are seeing 11 days in a row of this supposed rally. And I wanted to go into this Reuters article a little bit before we go to Tim and he'll break it down better. But as it says, the NASDAQ topped the 9,000 point mark for the first time on Thursday and the S&P 500 hit a record high, boosted by optimism over U.S.-China trade relations and gains in shares of Amazon.com after reports signaled robust online holiday sales. Traders returned from the Christmas break to digest comments from Beijing that it was in close contact with Washington about an initial trade agreement. Shortly after U.S. President Donald Trump talked up a signing ceremony for the recently struck Phase 1 trade deal. Cooling U.S.-China trade tensions have fueled the latest leg of Wall Street's record-setting rally. With just days to go until the year end, the benchmark S&P 500 is up 29% so far this year, which would be its biggest annual percentage gain since 2013. And I quote, "The path of least resistance is up right now," said Carol Schlieff, Deputy Chief Investment Officer of Abbott Downing in Minneapolis. And I quote, "You have a lot more clarity on certain things that had worried the market all year." Shares of Amazon jumped 4.1% after a MasterCard report showed that U.S. shoppers spent more online during the holiday shopping season than in 2018, with e-commerce sales hitting a record high. And I quote, "The important part is that the online sales were much stronger than expected. The brick and mortar were less than expected. So the online sales and principally Amazon saved the day," said John Conlon, a director equity strategy at People's United Advisors. And we could go into the Dow and all that kind of stuff, but let's go into the NASDAQ a bit, Tim. I mean, obviously, we're going to see online sales go up. I mean, under the guise of convenience, as I always say, tyranny comes under the guise of convenience, but obviously, Amazon is a very convenient website. It's really ripping apart a lot of the box stores that we're seeing going down, but I think there's a lot of false optimism in a lot of ways, because it's not that only Amazon is going to continue to grow as far as people buying things online, and people are doing that more often than ever, but I feel like a lot of people are making this claim that it's just going up forever. It's really stupid. I mean, we've seen it a million times before. People just believe that we're just heading to the stars and it's never going to stop and we're going to shoot past the moon into the next dimension practically. So, Tim, I wanted to go to you on this and I wanted to hear your thoughts on the NASDAQ hitting these all-time highs and this optimism regarding the markets in general going into 2020.
Well, thanks, Josh. Well, it's funny because at first I remember that I was paying attention to the stock market back in 1999, 2000, 98, that time frame. I was probably like 14, 15 years old. And I remember when when the NASDAQ hit, I think it was 5,000. That was March. I'm just kind of eyeballing this number over here. It looks like it was March of 2000. NASDAQ crossed 5,000. You just mentioned it just crossed 9,000. And then what's important to remember is that when it crossed 5,000, it then dipped precipitously because, you know, after the 9/11 attacks, and then it took a long time for that to reclaim 5,000. And just how long did it take? It actually took, I'm sort of eyeballing this again, but till May 2015. So we're talking 15-year time difference between the first time it crossed 5,000 and the second time it crossed 5,000. And so, you know, and that, you know, could happen again, or you just mentioned, you know, hey, it's not going to go to the moon. You know, it could go to the moon. The reason it can go to the moon is because the Federal Reserve and other central banks could just keep printing tons and tons of money, which makes their money worth less. And so in real, you know, purchasing power terms, you know, it might not, you know, go to the moon and all of a sudden make it really rich if you're holding on to those companies.
To end eventually. I mean, it can only go so far. What I mean is, you know, past the moon, and how far past the moon can it get?
Yeah, to the other side of the moon. I don't know, the dark side of the moon. I don't know. But for right now, I mean, it's just weird. It's all really predicated. The NASDAQ is pretty much, I mean, I don't know what the exact numbers are. I know last year it was about 40% of the NASDAQ 100 was just a few companies, you know, Facebook, Amazon, Apple, Netflix, Google. I mean, it was essentially, you know, half of the NASDAQ. So it's not really representative of the entire economy. It's basically representative of, you know, the big tech oligarchs. And we're seeing, you know, these big tech oligarchs play, you know, a bigger and bigger role in all of our lives, whether it's, you know, trying to censor us, whether it's trying to, you know, game systems, you know, in their direction. You know, not really one to, you know, begrudge Amazon for not really paying any taxes. However, you know, when you're Jeff Bezos and you're lobbying that, you know, you're liberal and loving and how much you care about the world, and then you don't pay any taxes yourself, but then you then want to foist them on, you know, people, everyone else.
It reminds me so much of Warren Buffett, Tim. And I mean, to be fair, like we did a video a while back, I did a video on how Jeremy Corbyn was blasting Jeff Bezos for not paying his taxes. Meanwhile, he gave, I think, $98 million to charity. Now, most of that was to get around taxes. I mean, I'm not going to claim that Jeff Bezos is a nice guy because I don't think he is. But with that said, if I was going to compare Jeff Bezos to the Labour Party in Britain, I would say that Jeff Bezos has probably done a little bit better for the economy than Corbyn. But anyway, carry on. Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, all of these companies who are up there, you know, are pretty ruthless, you know, especially, you know, look at like an Apple, and, you know, they want to have this, you know, nice, and here I am, you know, an Apple computer in the back, my wife's, but, you know, all these companies want to make themselves nice, loving, and liberal. I mean, I know people that have dealt with Apple, you know, firsthand, like very, very high up people, and they will tell me that these are some of the most ruthless people that you can ever, you know, imagine trying to go into business with, you know, trying to cut every cost. I mean, just doing a lot. I mean, obviously, you know, that's things that happens in capitalism, but to the point where all of a sudden now, and, you know, Walmart back in the day was, you know, really, you know, kind of famous for this before, where let's say, you know, you're a soup company, and all of a sudden then, you know, you're dependent on Walmart, and then you've got to then, you know, scale up your own operations, and then now you probably have to finance some debt in order to do that, and then all of a sudden Walmart's like, well, hey, you know, if you can't, you know, cut it down another nickel, then we're going to go over here. And then you are basically forced to do it because now you've got to pay back your debt payment. Otherwise, right, if you didn't have that business. And so there's a lot of things where companies basically, you know, are, I'm going to say forced to work with them, but I mean, having like a Walmart, which isn't in the NASDAQ, but having, you know, like an Amazon and working with them is pretty much, in this economy, is pretty much vital. And so it's just the hypocrisy is what gets me. But it's also important to know that, you know, I'd mentioned that there was a 15-year lag from the two times it crossed 5,000. And, you know, if you're, you know, my age or your age or, you know, 40 years old, it might not really matter. But if you're 60 years old, and let's say things don't keep going to the moon, then, you know, what's going to happen if, you know, the market does crash, you know, even I would say, since I do this for a living, I would say even 10% basically, you know, usually will devastate most people's portfolio in terms of, you know, being able to retire on time. Basically having everything keep going up like it is right now would still devastate the ability for most people to retire, because most people have not saved enough. And so the economy can't afford any sort of crash whatsoever. So that's why the central banks are keep printing more and more money, but more so than even the ma and pa, because, you know, the Federal Reserve is, you know, care less about us. What they care about is, you know, the big Fortune 500 companies. They care about, you know, their masters, the bankers, the ones who control them, the ones who actually own the reserve, the other bankers.
Yeah. And something I have to add, I mean, and you mentioned the mom and pop. I mean, the small businesses are really getting the bad end of the ropes here. I mean, the more I look at this, the more I look into it, it's obvious that massive corporations are being monopolized by state power, banking power, the Federal Reserve printing. We're seeing, obviously, for example, like the taxes and regulations that we see today are not efficient for small businesses. They hurt the small businesses, but they come under the guise of helping small businesses and stopping big corporations. But they do the opposite, and they prop up major corporations. The regulations, the taxes really help the big corporations. And then you mention something else. And by the way, it affects the average person more than anything. The more the Fed prints, the more inflation goes up, the more poverty we see. And no one seems to get that very simple fact. But with that said, you mentioned the FANG stocks and everything, and this goes into something that I find is very prevalent in the news lately, as we've seen in the last few days, even going up into Christmas. YouTube, for example, is censoring crypto-related channels, and is taking down crypto-related channels, claiming it's harmful and, you know, incites violence even. It's just absolutely absurd. We've seen a lot of this censorship for a long time here on YouTube with our channel. But what I find interesting is it seems like there's almost like this psychological warfare game going on right now where they're trying to force people into the institutional kind of, old school, old guard monetary system, markets, etc., and away from the ways that people can possibly potentially save their wealth, insure their wealth, and save themselves going forward. I think that shows fear. Censorship usually shows fear. So I feel like we're kind of moving in that direction where the FANG stocks, I mean, those can't go up forever. I mean, one thing I noticed that's very prevalent about YouTube, about Facebook, about Twitter, about Amazon is that they can't stop growing. They're in a state where they literally have to constantly come up with new ideas. They have to constantly build or else they collapse. I mean, they've kind of put themselves in that position where they have to constantly build. And that's why I think Facebook came out with that terrible Libra coin, which failed miserably. I thought that was basically, it wasn't as much about innovation, though they do want to try and keep up with the future. I think it was more about trying to keep their stock going up so it looks like they're doing something. Meanwhile, all they're doing is kicking off their own creators, kicking off the people that make them big, and making things worse for people as far as user friendliness that are on those platforms. But what do you think about, you know, the concerns that a lot of the establishment has, whether it be in big tech, when it comes to, you know, the emerging crypto markets, decentralized markets, people kind of breaking into alternatives, as we've seen with BitChute and Float. What do you think?
I mean, I don't think it's a coincidence that, you know, here it is, you know, over Christmas when there's going to be less people on these platforms, and shout out to those of you who are on the platforms. Thank you very much in advance. But, you know, they realize that with things like BitChute, and I'm not sure if they're going to be the answer or not. You guys can check me out over there. But, you know, whether it's things like DLive or things like Float, you know, they realize that they're starting to lose control of the narrative. They realize that if social media goes through the way of the blockchain, that it could all of a sudden, you know, the genie gets out of the bottle and there's no way to put the genie back in. And the genie's already out of the bottle. It's just that people, even people within our own, this is what so frustrates me the most, that even people within our own community, whether it's the Truth community, the crypto community, you know, basically, you know, anti-Federal Reserve stuff, which is, you know, probably three of the biggest things they don't want out there. And So, you know, everything that we put out there are things that, you know, those crowd wants to control. And yet even our own communities don't even move over to these platforms. So I think that by going after the crypto, YouTube space, that maybe that is just the fire that this community needs to finally, you know, get a fire under the butt to do something. Because if we're not even doing it in the crypto space and in the Truth space, then do you expect the mom and pop to ever do this stuff? So I think it's a good thing in the short run that they went after, I say us in the crypto space.
Yeah, go after the people that innovate the most. That always works out real well for the establishment.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, sort of like creating like a Streisand effect, because now you're seeing these creators who, you know, they were getting nice and fat off of YouTube, and, you know, it's good for them, and they didn't really have a big incentive to get off of there. But, you know, as what we've seen, especially over here at WAM, that, you know, what they can do through shadow banning, that this is something that's absolutely needed. It's absolutely needed to get off these platforms. And we were even doing a lot of our own internal collaboration, you know, through, you know, Messenger, and I tried doing Signal, and I still do a lot of that. But I know John and I are now using Discord even to, you know, collaborate. We're posting all of our articles there. And, you know, that's a way that you can find, you know, a lot of the stuff that we're doing as well, because we're trying to get off all these enemy platforms. Because ultimately, you know, if we sit here and complain about, you know, YouTube, complain about Facebook, but we're still on YouTube and Facebook, then, you know, the joke's on us, not on them. And then, you know, I don't want to have government coming in and regulating them, because it's probably just going to make it a lot worse. You know, so ultimately it's us as the free market moving to these other platforms, but still being on these platforms to tell people to get off to the other platforms. I mean, I've been on BitChute for over a year, and I've got like 68 subscribers. So if you guys want to show me some love at /TheLibertyAdvisor, you know, John and I just created a Discord where, because, you know, obviously the information we get out there is stuff they don't want people seeing. So every single thing I save right now in an Evernote, which I probably look at 100 articles a day, maybe 10 of them a day, I save into, now are getting saved directly into Discord. Same thing with John Snyson as well. I'm sure Josh will be over there soon enough as we twist his arm. And then, you know, we need us as the, you know, content creators to be the ones who are, you know, leading this charge over there and then getting our audiences over there, not Congress, not the president, not some sort of edict coming down. But another quick kind of sidetrack I want to make, I know we're talking a lot about Apple, we're talking a lot about Amazon, that Amazon everything they do and all their stock numbers have to do with what their top line revenue is or how much money they are, not the profit that they're making, but just the gross right. amount of sales that they have is what Wall Street seems to care about. Because if it came down to profit, there was actually, I believe last year there was a stat, I think it was like last August, where Amazon actually, Apple had actually made more money in one quarter, a profit. They had more profit in one quarter than Amazon had its entire life. So we're talking profit, not revenue, because as when it comes to actual revenue, Amazon or profit, Amazon makes next to nothing. They have super small margins. And the only way they even, what finally actually broke them into profitability, and Josh, you probably know this, a lot of our listeners and viewers probably know this, what broke them into profitability was the CIA cloud contract is what actually broke into their profitability. Right. So absent the CIA, and what does that tell you about that? The CIA is, you know, now going to be in your Ring doorbell, going to be in your, Blink cameras, going to be everywhere else. And so absent the CIA, they would actually still be losing money. And so it's just ridiculous that we put all of our dollars into these money losing companies, and then they get subsidized by the post office, and then they go right. lobby to raise our taxes.
Can you imagine like 10 years ago if you tried to tell people the CIA is in my doorbell? I got the CIA in my doorbell. People would be like, this guy's crazy. But this is the world we live in today. And yeah, I mean, Amazon takes a small amount of proceeds from sales on the platform, but mostly they hold money that then goes over to other people.
I do love my Ring doorbell, by the way. I just wish the CIA didn't own it because I bought it before they bought it. So screw you guys.
Again, going after the people that innovate the most is probably not a good idea. And we're going to see a lot of people rise up and replace the old guard systems. And it's happening right now more than ever. And I really do believe that we will prevail. But the problem is we got a little ways to go and we got to twist people's arms. We got to push people to do something about it. I mean, if people are still going, well, I refuse to get float, BitChute or whatever. At this point in time, it's like, what are you doing? Why would you not do this? Why would you not spend 10 seconds doing this at this point? Of course, I'm on BitChute as well at World Alternative Media. I'm hard to find because they keep my profile picture keeps disappearing from my
channel. The search function
channel.
Sucks over there. Oh, I will say, God. So you basically have to know your favorite creators, like their actual tagline. Look at down the links below to go there.
Okay, there's problems.
Go to Float, and then on Josh's cover page and on my cover page has all these little links right there. So if you guys just go to Float and /Liberty Advisor, is yours Josh Sigerson or is it
I don't know what the forward slash is, but just search up Josh Sigerson at Josh Sigerson on Float. I'm at WAM WAM on Float, where I post exclusive videos that I don't post on YouTube because it's not safe for YouTube content. I'm on BitChute at World Alternative Media as well. I don't know about the /. I don't pay attention to the URLs, but if you go to the search function, you'll find me. And Tim, also, I do want to let everyone know for your sake and for the good work that you do, that everyone should check the link below, the Bitly link, if they want to get involved with Tim as a client. Can you quickly go into your work there and at the Liberty Advisor and why people might be interested in becoming a client?
Yeah. So in addition to putting out this type of propaganda for the last several years and having, probably over 100 videos myself, I am a financial advisor. So I help people, make sense of all this crazy stuff that's going on. And so basically, if you want to be able to retire and not have to worry about not running out of money, then that's what I help people do. So I work with a lot of retirees, a lot of people in the crypto space, a lot of hardcore libertarians who didn't realize that a guy like me exists. And then I try to basically simplify their life to tell them exactly what they need to do. So that way they, we increase the chances of them not running out of money. And just give some peace of mind. Also do portfolio management, also do self-directed IRAs. We can do more advanced stuff, have run option portfolios, get all sorts of stuff, but ultimately I want people to know what they're investing in. So, I'm not just going to push crypto or gold on anybody, but I can do a whole lot of things that most financial advisors can't do. Not to mention, I feel like I'm better than almost all the other financial advisors. But we provide clarity, let people know. And then also mentioned before, check us out on these other platforms. Check John Snyson and I, we have our own Discord. If you go to Float, you can actually, from Float, it's a one-stop shop for everywhere because you can go to Float and then see, there's Tim and Josh DLive and the banner, click that. There's their BitChute. There's their podcast. By the way, I have an MP3 podcast as well, because especially on the holidays, you're driving around, got the family, maybe you can pop something in your ear. be a little bit easier. And I even, and in most of the videos that I'm in with Josh, I have it out on my own podcast platform as well. But just another way to help, you know, evade these censors. I got the shadow ban after 2 months being on Facebook. So it's always been in forefront of mine, but I appreciate being on, appreciate the opportunity. Yeah. And we are in the ninth inning. So this is not like when I was saying this stuff a year ago, when I was on BitChute, you know, I don't think I was even jumping the gun now. And definitely now at this stage of the game, we are not jumping the gun. What are you guys waiting for? Please help us out. Help yourself out, because how else are you going to find us?
Right. So again, check the Bitly link below if they want to, if you want to get involved with Tim. Also, we have a merchandise store at Teespring. Help support independent media. Find us on Float, FLOTE.APP. And for those that are still watching, please comment below, free the money. Comment free the money. We'll know that you watched the end. It helps the algorithm and all that kind of stuff. And you know, it's kind of sad in a way. We've kind of come to the end of the year here, and you know, a lot of us expected the decade to maybe end with a bang, and I think it's more ended with exhaustion and kind of just slowly teetering off, especially on the mainstream platforms. And I think that's mostly because, you know, the more they crack down on us, the harder we work. The more they crack down on us, and it just keeps on going and going. And so we're kind of getting to the end of this year, the end of this decade here, going, yeah, this kind of really sucks. I usually love doing this kind of work, but it's gotten to the point where it's become so much of a task. It's exhausting, and it's making a lot of creators real tired. But, you know, you can help, you know, free the information and bring this information to the public for free going into the future by going to things like float.app, BitChute, etc. So anyway, make sure to check those links below. GoFundMe, Patreon, Subscribestar. I do subscriber-only content. Float.app, subscriber-only content and stuff like that, as well as not safe for YouTube content. Go on these other platforms. There's never been more incentive than now. I know most of this video has now been talking about alternatives rather than the NASDAQ, but I think it's important, and we're getting to the end of the line, and who knows what's going to happen on January 1st or in 5 hours from now. Who knows? Anyway, I appreciate you joining us today, Tim, and until next time, this is Josh Searson and Tim Pichot signing out from World Alternative Media. Find the truth. Be the change. Like what you see here, Wham! Don't forget to check the links below. GoFundMe, Patreon. We cannot do it without you guys. Every donation is extremely, extremely appreciated, as we're getting incredibly shadow banned. We've lost 80% of our audience since January of 2019 and counting. They are ripping us apart here on YouTube. And the only thing we could do in the meantime, as we prepare for the next big step, is to ask for help from the viewers that support our free information that we try to post on a daily basis. You can also find us on Subscribestar, where just a dollar a month, that's all it takes, a dollar a month is all it takes to truly make a huge difference. If everyone gave a dollar a month, it would change everything for independent media, and we could win this information war, and we can defeat the mainstream medias eventually. And of course, on Subscribestar, we post subscriber-only content that you'll only see on Subscribestar. So make sure to pledge there, become a patron. That makes a huge difference, guys. And also, don't forget to check out our Bitcoin address below in the comments and description, as well as on the screen for you to scan if you please. And also, don't forget to subscribe to us on the alternatives. We will likely be deleted by YouTube in the next 2 years. It's already happening on a vast scale. So make sure to find us on float.app. That's FLOTE.APP. At Josh Sigurdsson, as well as at Wham, WAM. Float.app is replacing every social media, and I mean, it's just incredible the opportunities it provides for not just creators, but for the average person who wants to get away from these nannies telling them what they can or cannot see. They plan to replace Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Twitch, Tumblr, Reddit, and Patreon. You could subscribe to us on Float and pledge with cryptocurrency. It's really innovative. We are also on BitChute at World Alternative Media, as well as so many others. Minds, PocketNet. You can find us at World Alternative Media on Instagram. There's many options. And finally, don't forget to join us at Anarchapulco 2020, the famous event, the best liberty event known to mankind, other than perhaps Anarcho-Vegas 2020. There are two major events coming up that we are extremely excited about, and you can use promo code WAM, that's W-A-M, and save 10%. 5% on your tickets to these legendary conferences. There's so many amazing people speaking there. You won't want to miss it. So make sure to support in any way you can, even if it's just sharing our videos, pressing like, pressing to be notified. Anything helps, folks. You are the change you wish to see. Thanks for watching, everyone. And until next time, this is Josh Searson signing out from World Alternative Media. Find the truth. Be the change.
I'm sure you have already changed people's minds in your young age because you're involved, and I like that.